Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
It is high. It is far. It is gone.
There's no better way to celebrate your favorite MLB team than by visiting Baseballism, the official lifestyle brand of baseball. Baseballism specializes in apparel for men, women, and children, and now offers officially licensed MLB team apparel. For a limited time, get 15% off your next order by using the code PODCAST at checkout. Shop now at Baseballism.com or visit Baseballism San Francisco on the corner of King and 3rd. Baseballism is America's brand.
All right, Chime Time. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
It's time now for the BetQL Boston Podcast. Let's run the slate with your host, Mike Mutnanski.
The Red Sox struggles continue against the American League East. Good morning, Chris Scheim. How are you?
Good morning, Mutt. How are you today?
2-3 against the Rays now. 7-16 against the division. An amazing 9 games under 500. They're under 500 against all three teams in the AL East. And I bring that up, Chris Scheim, because this year there is no game 163. There is no tiebreaker game the day after the season. Tiebreakers are number one, head-to-head record. Number two, intra-division record, as in what's your record against the division. And as of right now, the Red Sox two tiebreakers absolutely stink against the Blue Jays and the Rays. That is the reality.
Yeah, it's not a great look for the Boston Red
nope.
Sox here
at
the halfway point of the season. The good news is Chris Sale making his rehab start in Worcester tonight.
Worcester, welcome to Worcester. State charge $1.25, please.
Over at Pola Park.
Yep.
And then on top of that, Red Sox, interesting young rookie on the mound to start tonight's game.
I mean, you're underselling it. This is the most anticipated debut since one of two guys, Clay Buchholz in 07 or Henry Owens in 2013.
Like,
there's some other guys, Darwinson Hernandez, some other young guys who have made debuts at the Red Sox. None have been as publicized, as focused on as Brian Bayo's anticipated, with bated breath, as Johnny Most used to say. He is pitching tonight for the Red Sox. He is 23. He has gone from 89 to 40-something in Keith Law's minor league rankings this year. He's one of their highest-rated prospects in the franchise, quite frankly. And at 23 years old, he starts tonight against Tampa. Now, I'd love to tell you, after I tell you that Nick Pivetta sucked last night and did not strike out 5 batters, so thank you, Nick Pivetta.
Boo.
That I had this great bet for Brian Bayo's strikeout totals tonight because his strikeout machine, he has 114 strikeouts in 84 innings.
Yeah, averages 13 per 9 innings.
Yeah, and he averaged 8 per start at AAA. And so the Rays basically have a AAA lineup of sorts. But right now, our friends at DraftKings have not yet posted the strikeout total.
Nothing.
So
it's depressing because I've been waiting for it all day.
They'll do it at some point. I don't know when it'll be. My guess is they'll post it at 4.5 or 5.5 because it's a guy making his debut, and he'll get absolutely hammered at 4.5 and probably be even bet a little bit at 5.5. If you want to play both those, that's fine with me.
Yeah, even FanDuel doesn't have anything listed either. They have the player performance doubles, so it's like Brian Bayo to record 4+ strikeouts and the Red Sox to win is even money.
Oh, my God. Well, I guess it's going to be overbet today. I guess we're betting into the steam of Brian Bayo. He deserves all the hype. Red Sox need the win. He's been a strikeout machine. I'm looking forward to do it. We'll be there with the pregame. We'll stick around
for
the game.
Oh, here we go. FanDuel's initial line. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's breaking news.
FanDuel's initial line,
4.5. 5.5 at what?
At plus 110.
Yeah, that'll be gone pretty quickly.
Yeah, I bet it'll be like 4.5 or 5.5 at minus 120 by the time it's on DraftKings.
Would you play the 5.5 at plus 110?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
I think so,
I'm in.
Too. I think so, too.
Tampa Bay Rays have never seen him before. And on top of that, him being a strikeout machine in AAA, I am all in on going over 5.5. Yeah.
Yep. If I get 5.5 right now, I would do it. Again, unfortunately, our friends at DraftKings have decided to wait on this. It'll be up there at some point. They have nothing. They don't have anything up there here. No, nothing. You can't even get a record a win at this point. It's all Corey Kluber goes for the Rays, who the Red Sox pounded back in April. So I'm gonna. Do you want to go with Brian Bayo as your play tonight, Chime? You want to give you that?
No. So I mean, It's not on the board, so I can't officially play it. I have a different play instead. I had a backup pick just because Brian Baio is not available to me.
What's your backup pick for the Red Sox tonight? They're playing, obviously, the Tampa Bay Rays. Huge game tonight in the division. They are plus 155 on the run line at minus 1.5. Total over in this game is 9. Juice to the under at minus 120. Or over minus 120. Under is plus even money, basically. Money line for the Red Sox, minus 125. Those are the game lines today for Red Sox and Rays. 7:10, your first pitch at Fenway Park.
Yeah, so my pick here is I'm actually going to go with Xander Bogaerts over 1.5 total bases.
Nice.
Plus 120 tonight. Had a dinger last night. It was his first dinger in 25 games. But if there's one thing I know about Xander Bogaerts, can tend to be a little streaky. And when he's hot, he gets really hot, and then he can kind of cool off a little bit at times. A 25-game home run drought seems to me a cold streak. He is now out of that cold streak. I expect him to continue to play well, especially because Bogaerts, Devers, and Martinez have not played extremely well over the last week.
Sure haven't.
One of those guys needs to come out. Bogaerts gave himself some confidence last night. I'm going to go Bogaerts over 1.5 total bases tonight against Corey Kluber.
I will take J.D. Martinez over 1.5 total base against Corey Kluber. He is 9-for-31 lifetime, pair of home runs. Kluber was rocked by them earlier in the year. Devers had a home run against Kluber in that first start. He gave 11 hits in just 5 innings. So Red Sox have been effective against him. He had a good June, but he got smoked by the Blue Jays over the weekend. So we're on a similar page here. Over total bases, 1.5. I'll go with J.D. Martinez at even money. You'll go with Xander Bogaerts. What's the Bogaerts number?
Plus 120.
Nice. Okay, so there you go. So both plus money against Corey Kluber tonight and the Red Sox. We're both interested in Brian Baio stats, depending on where they post him. But really, again, the comps to Pedro Martinez, I think, tell the story. He's being legitimately compared to Pedro Martinez. He's been electric, and so looking forward to watching Baio tonight, listening to Baio tonight on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Network as the Red Sox try to, on July 6th, Chris Schein, win their first AL East series of the year.
Yeah, you'd think that they would have won one prior to this.
But they have not.
They need to win tonight, and then you get to square off with the Yankees. I mean, this is just such an important stretch here, the month of July, for the Boston Red Sox. So getting a win tonight will start you off at least on the right foot.
3-5 against the Orioles. They are 1-2 against the Yankees, so a lot of Yankee games coming up. They are 2-3 against the Rays and 3-7 against the Blue Jays. So well under 500 against the division. It has not been good for them. They are 45-36 trying to finish strong. But 2-3 to start July after a 20-6 month of June. Meanwhile, the Scottish Open tees off, I believe, 2:15 Eastern time this morning. So
nice.
If you are playing DraftKings, if you are playing any bets, you've got to get them in today. You can't wake up early and do them tomorrow. I will point to our buddy Ryan Hannibal, who wrote up a couple articles in this at BetMGM. One about the guy getting the most money. That is our buddy Matt Fitzpatrick, who carried us home in the U.S. Open. I believe at BetMGM, Scheim, he has a 20% ticket count,
and the next highest
is 7%.
What?
Well, and it's two things. One, he's coming off an open win, and two, he lost here in a playoff a year ago, and has played well here at the Renaissance Club over in Scotland.
Can I ask you a question? Just as
no, you can't. No.
Well,
fine.
Okay, thank you. You know, I'm still learning how to bet golf, but my first instinct is I would not be betting on a guy that just won the Open to win just like the next tournament. Like, to me, that it feels like a cool off period, right? It's a period, it doesn't feel like he's just all just because he won doesn't mean he's going to stay hot kind of thing. You know what I mean? Is that just me, or should you be really considering betting Matt Fitzpatrick here?
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I will not be betting him. I mean, I'm looking at his number, even at 18-1 on DK, I'm not betting. I mean, you want to, if he gets out slow and you want to bet him because he's had good success here, he has another top 10 here a couple of years ago. So I understand why people like him. I'm with you. I mean, the reality of him winning the U.S. Open and then using this and being like locked in versus a lot of these guys, I think, are going to be trying to work on certain things because they're trying to get themselves focused on the British Open a week from now. Like, I think that's... a lot of these guys a tune-up. So at 18-1, I mean, I get that Scheffler and Rahm and Thomas and Schauffele and Fitz are all under 20-1. I understand why. I have no interest in any of them, just given the odds. And so the weather here, Shime. So your theory is a good one. Like, back-to-back winners in the PGA Tour is very rare anyway, and especially coming off a major. The weather, they're looking at 35 to 40-mile-an-hour winds all week there at the Renaissance Club. There's going to be no precipitation at all, so super fast greens, and they're fescue greens, which are very, very rare for guys to play on. So it is really, really tricky. And Hannibal, to his point in his column at BetMGM, was focusing on guys who play well in links courses. And one of the guy that I want to play at 50-1 to win the thing outright and also a top 10 bet will be Tommy Fleetwood, who's played well here at the Renaissance Club, also had good links experience. So I think he's a guy, if you're looking for trends to look at and things to like, he's played well on this course. He's played well in links courses in general. And you're getting a really good price at up there at like 50-1. He's actually number one in the website that I use that does like a course fit ranking. And it's tough for this track because not a lot of these guys have played here. But he's actually number one for course fit. Like his style of play plays for the course fit. So for me, I have interest in Tommy Fleetwood. I also have some flyers at 33-1 Hideki Matsuyama, who comes into this thing top 10 in course fit, number top 10 stats that I look at. I think he's finally healthy, Shime. The thing with Matsu early in the year is he just wasn't healthy. He had some WDs. He was fourth at the U.S. Open last time out. He skipped the John Deere. He skipped the Travelers. Now he's coming back to tune up here. I think Matsu at 33-1 is a fair price. Sam Burns at almost 30-1, just based on the numbers and his current form. Missed the cut there at the Travelers before that. Top third at the U.S. Open, was fourth in the RBC in Toronto. And then I had a longer shot play at 66-1 that I want to find. Go ahead.
So I have a 60-1 long shot that I wanted your opinion on. I was thinking about playing him. A guy who's had success here, that'd be Aaron Rye. Do you have any take on Aaron Rye this week?
He is one of the guys that's getting bet. His odds have come down from 80-1 to 60-1. So he actually won this tournament. So I'm not anti Aaron Rye. Especially, I mean, 66-1 for pizza money and getting that action all weekend, absolutely.
Yeah, and Aaron Rye, even if you wanted to just go like top 20 on Aaron Rye, it's still over 2-1. Like,
he's also,
I think that's decent value.
Form. I mean, decent form. He was 13th in Toronto a month ago. He was 40th at Travelers, so he's made the cut in his last two events. He's played well here. Absolutely. And by the way, he'll be a very popular DraftKings play at only 6,600. I totally get that. My 66-1 shot was Justin Rose. So, again, guy, he's played a lot of his tournaments over there in Europe. He's seven in the field in par five scoring in DK. That's a big one. There's some par fives that you can score on at this tournament. And getting someone who's played a lot of tournaments over there in Europe and is top 20 in fescue putting, I was interested in him. And just, again, pizza money, 66-1. You want to play him top 10, you could probably get a good number there as well. And then the ridiculous, ridiculous price up on the board is Callum Tarum, who is 300-1. And he's more of a DK play for me. At 6,300, he's going to be a big, big DK play for me.
He was pretty hot for like the first couple of days at the Open, wasn't he? Was that him?
He finished 31st. He was very good. I mean, he finished 31st at the Open. He's coming off a sixth at John Deere. He's got a couple missed cuts thrown in there. 13th in course fit, 13th in fescue putting. And he's up there at like, let me just double check, like 300-1-ish. Depending on where you look.
You also mentioned Justin Rose top 10. That's 6.5-1, by the way.
Yep. Again, these are. I will not have significant dollars invested in any of these. These are not Fitzpatrick or Willie Z type plays from the U.S. Open. These are fun bets, at least to start the tournament. I for sure on Saturday, like I can see myself Saturday night after a day with the kids, sitting down with dinner time and a beverage, looking at the odds overnight for the Scottish Open, and know they're going to tee off like 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, and I'll have some Sunday morning live bets going for sure. But my out of these five, Matsu, Fleetwood, Burns, Rose, Callan Tarrant, to me, at like 300-1 is my favorite flyer. And for sure, 6,300 on DK, I'm going to be building around him. But I would say if you want a more informed opinion, go check out Hannibal's stuff at the Scottish Open, and he will definitely join us next week, Chime, for all things U.S. Open.
Oh, absolutely. British Open.
Yeah.
I am very excited for the Open Championship.
Me too.
I have had so much fun with all of the majors this year. I'm very excited for the Open Championship next week.
And again, I am a recreational fun golf bettor. I'd call myself more of a serious DraftKings and underdog player. So when these are things that I'll be playing this weekend, it will not, again, not significant money. They're all 28-1 or longer, and hopefully get alive to a couple of fun runs both Saturday and Sunday. Meanwhile, you guys talked about Mac Jones today because this is now that period where it's like training camp 2 weeks away. It's Patriots. It's Patriots. It's Mac Jones. RG3 saying he's the first guy to win a Super Bowl. What was your big take on the Mac Jones conversation today? Since you and I both think he has no shot to win the MVP, you don't like him at all.
No.
I think he's going to take a step backwards this year because of the talent around him.
Yep.
Big take from the Greg Hill Show, Mac Jones talk today.
To be completely honest with you, we weren't overly critical of Mac Jones. I don't think Mac Jones is bad, but the people that are thinking he's a dark horse MVP candidate need to get off the drugs because that is out of control. Like, I read a stat line to Fitzy, 38 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, over 5,000 yards. That was Justin Herbert last year. He did not even get an MVP vote.
Yikes.
Which means you're going to need to throw in the range of 4,500 yards to 5,000 with 35-plus touchdowns and approximately 10 interceptions to even be and be on a team that wins 10-plus games to even be considered for the MVP voting. Like, so, and I think that's A, too much to ask of any second-year player, and B, ridiculous to assume even possible with a first-time offensive coordinator that we know literally nothing about and how that's going to get play called. No legitimate number one receiving threat. And then on top of that, I just don't think the Patriots defense is... I think that's the worst part of this team is the Patriots defense. And so this team is just going to be bad anyway. So it's not going to matter what kind of season Mac Jones has.
I mentioned this yesterday. BetMGM has the lines up to win the AFC. Both the Patriots and the Raiders are 20-1. Who would you rather bet on if you had to make a bet on one of those two teams to win the AFC this year?
Can I tell you something, Mutt?
Yeah.
I'm being honest with you. I've already bet on the Las Vegas Raiders to win the AFC this year.
I already bet their win total over 8.5.
I also bet on them to win the AFC West. And it's just...
Wow.
Yes.
How about breaking news here on the pod? He likes the Raiders.
Raiders plus the Raiders. 6.5-1 to win the AFC West. And in my opinion, first of all, I don't know how they're going to get how teams are going to get them off the field on third down when you have Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, and Devontae Adams. I don't know. And
Derek Carr might.
And Mike Florio tweeted out this article about how Devontae Adams is going to take this massive step back. He does realize, by the way, that in Derek Carr's junior and senior year at Fresno State, he was joined by the one and only Devontae Adams, right?
Sure was.
As a freshman and sophomore. In those years, as a freshman, Devontae Adams had 1,300 yards and 14 touchdowns. As a sophomore, at Fresno State, Devontae Adams had 1,700 yards and 24 touchdowns with Derek Carr throwing him the football. These guys like playing together. Derek Carr is going to throw him the football. Derek Carr is accurate. Derek Carr is like the step-up version of Mac Jones. He is very accurate. He's going to get the ball to Devontae Adams. Like, this is... it's like a match made in heaven. I don't understand how anybody can assume that Devontae Adams is going to take a step back. Like, if any top-notch receiver might take a step back this year, it's going to be Tyreek Hill, not Devontae Adams, not Justin Jefferson, not Ja'Marr Chase. Like, it made no sense to me. And so I think right now the Las Vegas Raiders are being woefully, woefully underrated. And I am very much in on betting them for a lot of different angles, just because I think everybody's so enamored with Herbert and the Chargers. They seem to be getting a ton of hype. Everybody loves Mahomes. He now lost Ty Hill. I don't trust Juju. That offense has questions to me. And then the Denver Broncos to the Denver Broncos. I don't know exactly what their plan is going to be. I know Russell Wilson will be decent. They'll be competitive. But I don't know exactly how good that team's going to be.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of reasons why I like them offensively. I think the Josh McDaniels offense, like second chance for him, he is going to be so locked in, Shine.
100% agree.
In year one. And maybe it falls apart eventually because they invested a lot of money in this year. Like, I don't think I would say, like, long term, they're going to be a contender for the next 5 or 10 years. But for this year, Josh does not want to be the next Bill Belichick, assistant to fail. So add that into a good offensive mind, a smart offense, decent defense. Like, I'm totally with you. It's so funny. I think they're being so underrated for so many reasons. So we agree. I wouldn't touch the Patriots at 20-1 with my son's fun money.
Nope.
If you're going to 21 the Raiders, I'm going to have to chase you home on that a little bit. I'm going to have to get that in now because I'm sure you're right. Once the hype starts in training camp and it's like, oh my God, it's Adams, it's Renfrow. Didn't they sign another decent wide receiver too, like to be on the other outside piece? I
know they lost like Zay Jones and Brian Edwards, but
both those guys stink
exactly.
Like hot garbage.
I can look it up for you.
Oh,
right now.
Yeah, they signed Keelan Cole.
Yes, exactly. So
Keelan Cole is better than either one of those guys you just said.
Oh, and they got DeMarcus Edwards. Robinson from the Chiefs. They got both those guys. So, I mean, here's the thing. I love the way the Raiders are built. You're telling me that with that
Max
offense,
Crosby up front, Chandler Jones on the other end.
I'm getting better odds on the Raiders than I am the Colts, Browns, and Titans. That's stupid. That is stupidity. I don't understand how the Vegas Raiders are below them. I don't. And so to me, the value is too good.
All right, so we totally agree. Both teams 20-1. You and I both. Sounds like we kind of love the. It might be a Raiders podcast.
Yeah, it might be a Raiders here. Lightning podcast. I like this.
All right, please help us out. If you're a Mac Jones fan, if you're a Raiders fan, if you're a fan of betting on golf, subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, and Odyssey. Chris Shine, what else do people need to know on this Wednesday morning?
Make sure to follow us on the Twitters. Tweet at us. Send us any of your questions, anything, any kind of NFL futures you like, you hate. If you think our Vegas Raiders hype is dumb, let us know. Give us some, give us your thoughts, and we'll talk about them right here on the podcast. Be happy to.
Any golf today on your schedule, Krishan?
No, I'm going to take today easy. I played 45 holes over the weekend.
It's fair.
I got another tee time lined up Friday. So I'm going to take the week to myself here until Friday and then go out and play 18 on Friday again.
All right, Shime Time. We'll be talking live during the Scottish Open tomorrow. See how our bets are doing because they tee off so early over there across the pond. We'll talk then, buddy. Happy Brian Bayo Day.
Happy Brian Bayo Day, Mutt. Enjoy it tonight.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.